Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I had never heard this story before, that early in the morning on February 3rd, 1943, the SS Dorchester was struck by a torpedo. The Dorchester had been a passenger ship, a pretty luxurious passenger ship, with a lot of first-class amenities on board. It had been making the trip from Miami to Boston, back to Miami, back to Boston, back to Miami, over and over and over again. It had been making this trip for 20 years. It was first commissioned in 1926. And then World War II happened, and the Dorchester was refitted. They emptied it out, and they turned it into a troop transport. It was able to carry about 900 people when they were done refitting it. And on this particular voyage to Greenland, it was carrying four particularly notable men, each of whom was a new Army chaplain, heading to their first assignment overseas. The first was George Lansing, George Lansing Fox. He was not new to military service. He had actually served in World War I as an assistant in the medical corps in France. He returned home from the First World War and became a Methodist minister. Alexander Good was raised in Washington, D.C. His father was a rabbi, and Alexander chose to follow in his father's footsteps. He had originally applied to be a chaplain in the Navy and was turned down, but he was determined to serve. And after Pearl Harbor, he applied to the Army, and he was accepted. Clark Poling was a Baptist minister, and he felt the call to service. At first, he volunteered to enter in the Army and simply serve wherever he was needed. I will do whatever you want me to do, just use me. His father had been a chaplain in the First World War and convinced Clark of the need for pastors among the troops. So Clark asked to be a chaplain. Finally, John Washington had been serving as a priest in a number of different parishes in New Jersey when he received his appointment as a chaplain in the Army. And on February 3rd, all four of them were on the Dorchester. When the Dorchester had been a passenger liner, it would carry about 400 people. Full. 400. On this day, it had over 900 packed into every room on every level of the ship. And these were not sailors. They didn't know what to do in the ocean on a ship that was slipping below the water. And to make it worse, the power had been lost with the torpedo impact. Adrenaline was surging as people ran about trying to figure out what to do in the cold, in the wet, in the dark. And out on the deck were four chaplains, doing their best to keep people calm, to direct traffic, to help the lifeboats to be lowered and filled and launched. Four chaplains who helped people find life jackets. Four chaplains who gave up their own life jackets when no more could be found. And when everything that could be done had been done, George Lansing, Alexander Good, Clark Poling, and John Washington stood on the deck of the Dorchester, praying for the soldiers in their care and singing hymns as the ship went under the water. It's an act of extraordinary grace. It's also an act of simple and obvious compassion. You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. There are times, I believe, maybe more often than not, there are times when we make faith more complicated than it needs to be. The Romans text, Paul writes a familiar, or hits a familiar chord. Why do I do what I don't want to do, and struggle to do the good that I want to do? Why is it hard just to do what I want to do? Why? We stumble and struggle and freeze in the dark. We pause and we waver, working through the complications of whatever it is that's before us, hoping maybe to lift up our own wisdom, to glory in our intelligence. Or maybe we're afraid of acting for fear of seeming unwise or believing ourselves to be unintelligent. Maybe we don't act because we're afraid we might reveal our shortcomings, because we feel as though we lack the skills, the background, the experience, the gifts to do whatever it is that we see right in front of us. There's this strangely worded accusation at the beginning of the gospel lesson today. Jesus says, "You are like children in the marketplace, calling out to one another. We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." I say it's strangely worded. Maybe I should say it's beautifully worded. Because who is this accusation aimed at? Is it us? Are we simply yelling out at each other, frustrated, ultimately, with our own inactivity, because we're unsure of our dancing or our words of support? Or is this an accusation aimed at God, that we have not been given the proper dancing instructions? We have not been given the gifts to do what it is that we see right in front of us. We have not been given whatever it is we think we need in order to do the thing that is right in front of us. 10 verses later, Jesus says, "Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants." There are times when our overanalyzing hides things from us. We can't see that we do know how to dance. We can't see that we know what to do. And so Jesus says, "Put on my yoke, and we'll do this together. I'll show you what you already know." Four chaplains felt the impact on the hull of the ship. Four chaplains found their way through the dark to the deck. Four chaplains who were not sailors, not captains, not sergeants, not platoon leaders. Four chaplains who just asked, "What can I do?" And they acted out of love and compassion in the revelation of infants. That's the blessing. The revelation of infants. That's the blessing that we have been given. The act that we have been called to love and compassion and care. that we have been called both to give and to receive. The blessing is an assurance that you know what you're doing. You know. Let's come together and let's dance. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.